Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Wrong Patient by Rachel Hargrove. Narrated by Amanda Stribling. Prologue. 1 year anniversary of celebrity dermatologist disappearance by Lucy Dawson, senior health and beauty correspondent. It's been exactly 1 year since Dr. Celine Marks, the famed celebrity cosmetic dermatologist, disappeared without a trace. The doctor, widely regarded as one of the best in the industry, was last seen near a food truck on Valley Boulevard. Marks, known for her elite clientele, was dubbed the miracle worker of Beverly Hills by her adoring patients. Her innovative approach to beauty and unparalleled talent for changing lives, not just faces, set her apart in an industry often criticized for its superficiality. Her work was more than skin deep. She gave people confidence, a new lease on life, said a former patient who wished to remain anonymous. Despite the high-profile nature of her patients and her celebrity status, Marks was a deeply private individual, making the mystery surrounding her disappearance all the more puzzling. In the months following her disappearance, numerous rumors have surfaced, everything from a kidnapping to a planned escape to an undisclosed foreign country. However, the Los Angeles County Police Department remains tight-lipped about the investigation, stating only that it is an ongoing case. The world of cosmetic dermatology keenly feels the absence of Dr. Marks. Her clinic is closed, the once bustling epicenter of beauty now reduced to a silent testament of a missing woman who was at the height of her profession. The void she left is palpable, but the question persists. Where is Dr. Celine Marks? 1. Ava. They'll kill me if I don't leave. Everyone knows my address, and those who don't can find it with a simple Google search. It's not safe here, not anymore. Heart pounding, I open my phone and swipe through screens. I click on the link to a true crime forum. My name is splashed everywhere in damning headlines. Is there any chance Ava is innocent? Examining whether Ava had an accomplice. Why do you think Ava hasn't admitted to the murder? The real reason Dr. Celine disappeared. The only thing more thrilling than a missing person case is the internet's delight in blaming someone for her disappearance. But blame leads to anger, and anger to hatred. And hatred, a new post pops up. How long do we have to wait until Ava gets what's coming to her? Dad's house might be secure enough if he lets me in. I'm not above begging him. We're not on good terms, but at least he doesn't want me dead. I'll stay there temporarily, tell my family and friends I'm going on vacation, and everything will return to normal. Except it won't. He'll find me. He always knows where I am. And the instant I move, he'll dox me on the damned forum, and the rest of the world will foam at the mouth until they've tracked me down. Where can I hide from the internet? I reach for a stack of clothing, pausing. Due to a court order, I can't leave California. My gaze falls to the phone again. Just like the infatuated public, I can't stop obsessing about the case. I select the post with a video of me embedded in it. A familiar intro tune of a beauty podcast fills my bedroom. Welcome back. Claire, the bubbly host, talks into a headset. Our topic today is a controversial procedure called a phenol peel. It is the most powerful chemical peel available and can produce some amazing results, but it also has one of the highest complication rates. We'll go into detail in just a second. First, I'd like to introduce our special guest, Ava Green, who's about to embark on a life-changing journey. The camera flicks to me, sitting on a stool in Claire's studio. My heavy makeup almost covers my acne scars. I used to run my fingers over my skin in front of the mirror, griping at every minor flaw that paled compared to what I have now. Hello, Claire. Thanks for having me. You know, I've never heard of this procedure until a video came across my feed. The before and after results are astounding. I'm so excited to talk about this. So your peel is on Monday? I smile. That's right. Are you nervous? I had some reservations, but I feel like I'm in good hands. I understand there's a long downtime. Can you go into more detail? she asks. Yes, there is. Because of that, Dr. Celine doesn't book the procedure without showing patients all stages of the peel. The pictures are pretty nasty. It takes 2 weeks for the scabs to fall off. After that, your face is still swollen and bright red. It stays that color for another 6 weeks, sometimes longer.
Wow!
Most dermatologists refuse to do phenol peels. There are a lot of risks.
But the potential rewards are huge.
Exactly. No procedure gives results as dramatic as the phenol peel. I've tried everything to improve the appearance of my acne scars. They make me so self-conscious. I work in real estate, so looking your best is essential when you're trying to sell a house. Claire nods.
Makes sense. Can you tell us more about the procedure?
It's a chemical peel, which is a treatment that uses an acid solution to remove damaged outer layers of skin. I say, hands folded on my lap. The phenol peel is the strongest of these, and it can help with deeper scars and wrinkles.
Why did you choose Dr. Celine Marks?
She asks. I've been visiting her clinic for a while. I'm a Dr. Celine stan. In the cold light of retrospect, my answer, meant to show admiration, now sounds fanatical. She's an artist. She can transform you.
That's a powerful word.
Well, Dr. Celine doesn't just perform procedures. She looks at you and sees what you could be. She helps bring out the person you feel like on the inside. The me on the screen hesitates, inhaling deeply. It's hard to be confident when I'm preoccupied with how I look. It affects my business. Succeeding in my career is important to me.
That's a beautiful perspective,
Claire muses.
And you've chosen to share this with our audience. Why is that?
To help others who feel the same way. I want them to know what a phenol peel is like, step by step, so they can make an informed decision. I tune out the rest of my speech. Claire thanks me for sharing, and the podcast ends with a promise to keep the listeners updated. A year later, Dr. Celine Marks is missing, and my transformation has taken a terrifying turn. I have changed, but not in the way I intended. It hasn't been easy to come to grips with my new face. The plastic surgeon did his best with the skin grafts, but I am still monstrous. A stabbing pain buries in my chest. The comments underneath the video eviscerate me in a flurry of assumptions. They bring up my criminal record, that I was the last person to see Dr. Celine before she went missing, and my suspicious behavior following the botched procedure. Truth Seeker 101. Incredible, right? This woman is way too fixated on Dr. Marks for comfort. Upvotes 35. Justice for Marks. She snapped when her magical transformation didn't happen. Upvotes 21. Truth Seeker 101. She got upset, maybe enough to make someone vanish. Upvotes 8. Anonymous 345. What's her motive, though? Upvotes 3. Truth Seeker 101. Desperation? Revenge? So many angles to consider. The whole scenario is wild. All of this seems like a classic case of expectations not meeting reality, then lashing out. Upvotes 10. Anonymous 345. Dumb bitch did it to herself. Upvotes 3. I exit the forum, seething. They're taking my story, twisting my intentions. I'm not just a woman recovering from a botched procedure. I'm responsible for the disappearance of a beloved mother and doctor. Someone knocks. I jump, my legs tensing.
Who is it? Ronnie.
My assistant's southern drawl filters through the door. I get up from my couch, parting the sheer curtains away from the window. Normally, I'm not so jumpy, but today was rough. She raps on the door.
Ava, open up. I have your meatball sub. Thank you. Can you leave the bag on the floor?
Why?
She asks. Ronnie's harmless, a sweet, pint-sized brunette from Texas. She's been handling most of my real estate business since I've been keeping a low profile. She often invites me over to play cards.
I love her, but if I open the door, she'll guilt me until I let her inside. If I do that, my palms will sweat. My stomach will churn. I'll obsess over what she's thinking.
I can't. I'm in my pajamas. You think I care? Lord, I'm in PJs half the time.
I grimace. I'm not in the mood.
But it's just me.
I know, but I can't. She tuts.
Eventually, you're gonna have to move on.
How can I? Staring into the mirror inflicts me with pain. My image is a daily reminder of how much I've lost. My confidence, my career, my identity. My fingers trail along the doorknob. But I can't bring myself to turn it. I'm in no mood for company. I shake my head. Sorry.
Sweetie, this isn't healthy. You haven't left the house in 2 weeks.
I peer at the bright walkway. Pain squeezes deep inside me. I haven't sunbathed in a year. I can't lie in the sun. It's bad for my skin grafts.
I have,
I protest, pressing my palm flat against the weather door.
This is just a bad day. You have to stop reading that garbage online. You can't hide every time someone says something you don't like.
I'm only hiding from the people who think I'm a monster.
You're not a monster.
That's what they say about me, I mutter, trying not to sound desperate. The people on that website, they believe I'm a murderer.
You didn't kill her. You know that.
Do I? That hangs in the air, casting a cold shadow over Ronnie's reassurances. The gaslighting from strangers for months has me questioning everything.
Course you do,
she barks, sounding agitated.
You can't keep reading that hogwash.
So many of them are convinced I did it.
I keep telling you to stay off the internet. It's nothing but a bunch of shaved kittens fixing to pluck some whiskers. Anybody who's laid eyes on you knows darn well you're not mixed up in this mess.
I haven't been myself. I've done things I'm not proud of, I think. The last year is a bit of a blur.
Is it possible I did something awful and don't remember?
Police would have hauled you off to jail a long time ago. That just means they don't have enough evidence. Truth seekers' own words haunting me. No, I can't let him in my head.
You didn't do this,
she says firmly.
I want you to say it out loud.
I fist my trembling hands.
I didn't kidnap Celine.
That's right, she booms.
Say it again, louder.
I didn't kidnap Celine.
Good. When you doubt yourself, repeat that. Over and over, you hear? You can't let them get to you. The internet isn't the judge and jury.
It doesn't need to be when it can be the executioner. She's silent for a moment.
You sure you don't want me to come in? We could play cards, maybe take your mind off things.
My throat tightens.
No, I'm okay. I need to be alone. Thank you, though.
Well, all right then. She sighs, and then a bag hits the floor.
I'll leave you be. The truth will come out soon. You'll see.
I hope so. I really do.
See you later.
Ronnie moves away. I wait until her footsteps disappear, then unlatch the door. I stick my arm out and grab the bag. Then I move to the coffee table, unwrapping the sub. The comforting scent of marinara sauce fills the room. I take a bite, savoring the taste. The outside world is still scary, but in my sanctuary, I'm safe. I eat a third of the sub, then force myself to put it in the fridge. As I'm washing my hands, someone knocks. I dry myself on a kitchen towel and head toward the door.
Who is it?
Nobody answers. Keeping the chain on, I slowly crack open the door. Whoever it was, they've already gone. Package delivery? I remove the chain and widen the door. I step forward, my foot landing on the doormat. I glance at the dark shape and gasp. A plastic doll lies next to the mat. It's warped and black,
as though a torch burned off its face. I stumble back, an icy knot forming in my stomach. I slam the door, leaning against it. My eyes burn, but I blink away the tears. I won't let them win. I dial my sister. The line rings twice before clicking to voicemail.
It's me. I need your help. Please call me.
Then I hang up, sinking to the floor. My sanctuary feels a lot less safe. A cold thrill touches my spine as I pick up the folded piece of paper that was underneath the doll. A brief message is scrawled in thick strokes. You're next. 2. Ava. Police officers in starched blue uniforms stand in my living room like ill-placed furniture. Their careful glances take in my face, the hastily thrown-on cardigan, and my sister Brianna, tall and unruffled in her crisp suit. I'm not doing well. My skin bakes as though I'm under a heat lamp, and it's hard to speak with my stomach sucked in. The younger cop did a double take when I opened the door. He won't stop gaping at me.
So, Miss Green, when did these threats begin?
The question stabs into me. When did they start? Shortly after Dr. Celine's disappearance, officer.
Who could have a grudge against you?
A poster on a true crime community.
Have you noticed anyone suspicious lurking around your building?
No, officer. We've been on this merry-go-round more times than I can count, and my patience is gone. You have my statement, officer. I've given it to you and probably half the precinct by now. Why don't you tell me something? What are you doing about it? A heavy silence fills the room. My sister's stern expression warns me to shut up, but I'm tired of being nice. Officer Cortez cuts in.
I understand your frustration, but there is nothing we can do until he commits a crime.
Harassment isn't a crime?
What he wrote doesn't meet the legal requirement to be considered criminal harassment. He skirted the line, but it's his followers causing trouble.
And I can't point police in their direction because they delete their profiles as soon as law enforcement gets involved. I gesture at the doll.
Can you send that to the lab to check for fingerprints?
Ma'am, we have a huge backlog and melted dolls aren't a priority.
He smiles and gives me a fatherly pat on my back.
Keep documenting everything. Call us whenever this happens.
What for? I've been down this road before. When I tell a police officer about my problems, they take a report, write some notes, and file it away. Until I get hurt, they won't do a thing. The officers head to the door and Brianna shakes their hands.
Thank you for your time.
No problem.
Officer Cortez opens the door, a smile still twisting his mustache.
Take care now.
He leaves. Brianna shuts the door and locks it, triggering a memory of my teenage sister cornering me in my room. My sister is a criminal defense attorney, one of the best in the city. She has a reputation for savaging witnesses on the stand. Most crumble under her questioning, and I don't blame them. She's a tall blonde with a Rottweiler mentality. Even though I know I'm safe, it's not easy to hold her gaze, especially when she's angry and she's decided I'm on her hit list. Hands on her hips, her impatient sigh channels her father.
That could have gone better.
What'd I do wrong? Brianna rubs her brow.
For starters, you're wearing pajamas and it's after 12.
I glance down, shrugging. I could have had on a Chanel suit and they'd only look at my face.
Don't say that.
I sink into my tufted leather couch, the only relic from my old life that I haven't sold. It's the truth. People hate being around me. I make them uncomfortable. Brianna rolls her eyes but says nothing. She doesn't get it. My disfigurement is the only thing people see, but I don't argue the point. I've had many months to come to terms with my new appearance. I'm not quite there, but at least I've stopped researching ways to fix myself.
Only God makes faces, my plastic surgeon said. I can only do so much.
And he was right. Every single doctor I approached told me a similar version, expressing their deepest sympathies while urging me to see a therapist. I quit mine after she called me obsessive. If I want to be judged, I'll open up the true crime website. I need to distract myself. I pick up the remote and turn on the TV. As I try to decide between 90 Day Fiancé and Indian Matchmaker, Brianna marches to the front of the screen. "You're not out of the woods," she says. "Someone kidnapped and probably killed Dr. Celine." My throat tightens. I have my problems with Celine, but the mental image of her body in a ditch brings me no relief. Reports have maintained that she disappeared after leaving her home. Her last sighting was at a taco truck. Her purse was found weeks later, dumped in a field. It's hard to imagine the infallible Dr. Celine Marks becoming the latest statistic in a male-to-female violence. "She's fine," I mutter.
"Denying what happened doesn't make you look good."
"I'm not saying the situation isn't serious." Brianna's stare bores into me.
"Be careful. You haven't acted like an innocent person, and that online group is poisoning public opinion."
There's a hidden subtext in her words. My sister will represent me if this goes to trial. She's made it clear what I can't tell her, but her searching gaze probes me. A violent buzzing breaks the silence. Brianna's attention flicks to her phone.
"Do you have any idea who that truth seeker guy might be?"
I have my suspicions, but nothing concrete.
"And this has been going on for months?" she asks, peering at me through a curtain of blonde hair.
"Yes."
"Would have been nice to find out sooner."
"Yes, but my sister isn't who I go to with my problems. We've never had the best rapport. We didn't get along as kids. Our fights were vicious. Lots of hair yanking, biting, and kicking. Dad tried to stop us. Then he gave up and bought boxing gloves so no one would gouge out the other's eyeball. Until Dad got lung cancer, I didn't have much of a relationship with Brianna." She grasps my shoulder.
"Next time, just call me."
I wanted to handle it on my own. I thought the truth would come out and everything would blow over.
"You're my sister. We're in this together."
She gives my arm a comforting squeeze.
"And if she's fine, we'll sue her for medical malpractice. Have you contacted any lawyers?"
"I filed a suit a while ago."
"You did? That's good."
"My lawyer's working on it with her insurance. It'll take years to settle, so I'm not holding my breath. I've been focused on healing. It took a while to accept that I'll never look the same."
"You shouldn't have done it," she says, hardening again. "I glanced at your paperwork. You agreed to this risky procedure that had a 36% risk of cardiac arrhythmia. 36?
"That number is based on an old study."
"Still, there has to be cardiac monitoring because that chemical you allowed them to put on your face stops hearts from beating. Why would you take that chance?"
That same question loops in my brain when I look in the mirror. I shake my head. I just wanted to be beautiful. Brianna exhales roughly.
"The world doesn't judge you half as harshly as you judge yourself."
"That's not true in this town."
"Ava, these threats. I'm afraid for you. You should go to Dad's house."
"I'd rather not."
"You have to."
My pulse races at the thought of showing up on his doorstep with a suitcase. It'll be a nightmare. The last time I saw Dad was at the hospital after my skin graft surgery. He pulled up a chair and berated me.
"I know Dad can be an insensitive jerk, but you don't have a lot of options."
"He won't understand, just like you didn't then." Brianna checks her watch, swearing.
"I have to go. I need to pick up Lily from soccer practice."
I swallow hard, nodding. "Thanks for coming."
"Ava, listen to me. You're in danger. Promise me you'll take this seriously."
I will. Brianna leaves, her heels stubbing the carpet. As I shut the door, a sudden chill wraps my body. Somewhere out there, a faceless adversary wants to hurt me, and the police can't protect me. What if the next knock on the door isn't a cop, but him? clutched the door handle, steeling myself for a night where every sound could signal danger. 3. Ava. Dad.
Brianna told me what happened. You should come over.
An hour after she leaves, Dad's texts ping my phone. I don't have the energy to deal with him. He'll fly into a rage about that damned doctor and launch into a speech about how my obsession ruined my life, that I should accept myself. I've heard it before and don't need another lecture. When I was 9, Dad uprooted our Midwest lives for the sun-drenched streets of LA. Since then, I've been in a relentless pursuit of perfection. When I was 11, I tried surviving on a model's diet of black coffee and a few bites of cottage cheese, which lasted until I passed out and ended up in the ER. Then I got older, and puberty became my enemy. Parts of my body swelled. Hormones made me bloat. Acne sprouted everywhere. Giant red pustules left me with pockmarked skin. Boys at school called me ugly to my face, and that shame carried to adulthood. I took acting classes, enamored with the idea that I could transform into anyone I wanted. In this city, appearances are more than superficial. They're currency, and mine always seemed to fall short. My reflection never quite matched the perfect images plastered on billboards across the city. Acting was a dream. I couldn't support myself on hope, so I turned to real estate, a world where success wasn't dictated by the symmetry of your features. But the industry here has its own rules. Every client meeting was a performance where your looks could seal the deal. The pressure to maintain a flawless facade was relentless. As I grab a container of leftovers, I glance at a note pinned to the fridge. Beauty begins the moment you decide to be yourself. Those words rang true a year ago. My days revolved around working as a real estate agent while trying to land auditions. Now, my dream is dead, and I'm piecing together who I am. My phone rings. Ronnie's name flashes on the screen. I answer. Hey. Just thought I'd check in. How are you? Not great. I put on a smile, but can't quite force out. I'm fine. I'm breaking down from the sheer amount of hatred aimed at me. But I'm not fine. I wipe my cheeks. I got another death threat. Oh, sweetheart. I'm sorry to hear that. My throat aches. Everybody thinks I killed her thanks to a man I've never met. Not every single soul. You should see how my sister looks at me. I'm so tired, Ronnie. I can't focus. The stress is killing me. Then let me help you out. I rub my temples. You're already doing enough for me. Besides, I have to get to work. I'll never leave this apartment if I don't. I'm always here. And don't you worry about your clients. I've got things covered on this end. Besides, I'm a workaholic, so don't feel bad about delegating. I just don't want to impose. You're not. Think of it as sharing the load. Her rapid typing clicks through the speaker. Mr. Watt reached out. He's very understanding and hopes you're doing all right. Said he's okay with me handling his listing. I didn't realize he was planning to sell. Yeah, he's looking to move closer to his daughter. New grandkid on the way, she adds. I smile. Good for him. We ought to touch base on the Black property. I grimace, thinking of the listing I eagerly took on before sense kicked in. Every time I step into the Black mansion, it's like walking into a faded dream from Hollywood's golden age. The mansion's historic property status makes any significant renovation impossible, and whispers of old Black family scandals deter potential buyers. The family's high asking price doesn't help. It's a magnificent decaying cage. Beautiful, but unsellable. Harry keeps sending emails, wondering why it hadn't sold yet. The family must be hounding him for money. He wants it off his hands. So do I. The patriarch of the family, Harry Black, isn't the easiest client to deal with. I'll call him. I'm not sure what more he expects us to do. It won't sell without a price cut.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?